The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, as Jerry mentioned, we've got two more messages after this. So this actually is becoming a reality, the end of the series. Jerry says he's sad to see it go, but I don't know. It's kind of fun getting beat up by God's word during the week and then coming on Sunday and getting to beat you guys up. That's always fun. No. But, you know, it really has been something that I think has shown us some things. And really, for me, having been a little bit familiar with the Sermon on the Mount and spending some time there in the past, God has just really opened some new things up to me that I never thought about before. And so it's interesting that this morning, as we talk about this next few verses, in light of our new series that's coming up in January, and, you know, January seems like a long ways away because we haven't had Christmas yet. We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet. That's why it seems so far away. But we want you to begin to be thinking about that. And I can't stress enough that if you have questions that you want answers to, questions about God, questions about God's Word, whatever it might be, I encourage you to ask those questions because we really do want to make sure that those questions are addressed throughout our Element series because it would be a shame for you to sit through the entire series that's supposed to answer questions and walk away from that with unanswered questions. And so we really want to be able to, I think our goal by the end of that series is that you will be able to know what you believe, know why you believe it, and be able to tell somebody else. If someone else has questions, you'll be able to answer those questions. And so that's really the ultimate goal here. So this morning, the title of the message is Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Kind of an expression that you throw around when you think of somebody that's trying to sneak in and get away with something. They've got devious plans, but they kind of look like everybody else, and they try to blend in. And so we're going to be talking about this morning. I think it was on Tuesday, or maybe it was the Tuesday before, where Jerry was kind of playing the devil's advocate a little bit. Does everybody know what the devil's advocate is? That's where somebody, you know, chooses to be on the wrong side on purpose just to kind of make a point. And so so that Tuesday night, Jerry was kind of throwing out some questions and some ideas, and we started talking about the idea that if myself or Jerry got up here and began to tell you something that wasn't true, would you be able to identify that? I mean, if I came up here and I began to describe something to you about God and it was a little bit off, would you just think to yourself, oh, that's Jeremiah. He wouldn't tell us anything that's off. You know, I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to go with whatever he says. And this passage we're going to be looking at today warns us against just kind of going with what's talked about. And so just to open up and to kind of intro into what we're going to be talking about this morning, as you can see, I bring my Bible and I set it up here, open it up. I have passages marked. I have things that I've been studying here. But can you read it from where you're at? Can you see it? No, I could have any black book up here. You know, what's a really good book? Twilight series, that's pretty popular right now, huh? I could be reading that during my message. You just don't know what I've got up here. You don't know that I really have the Bible up here. I do, but you don't know that from back there. And so when I say something, what I would like you to do is ask yourself, is Jeremiah telling the truth? Ask yourself that question. Is Jeremiah telling the truth? When Jerry gets up here and says something, ask yourself that question. Is Jerry telling the truth? There's only one way to find out. You know what that is? Go back to the source where we got the information or where we claim we got the information. If we say we got it from the Bible, then get your Bible, open it up, find that passage we're talking about, and all of a sudden you'll realize, oh yeah, Jerry wasn't lying this time. Here's the idea for this morning's message. We want you to be able to look at a person that gets up and speaks and opens God's word. We want you to be able to look at that person. Not that you think bad of that person or that, you know, you don't give them the benefit of the doubt, but confirm that what they're saying is true. Now, I know we put the words up on the screen for you, and so we've got the Bible passage up there, but I would encourage you to bring your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, I will go and buy you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, Jerry will go and buy you a Bible. But we want you to have one. We want you to. If you don't have one that you can read and you're comfortable reading, if you don't have a Bible that makes sense to you, that's in written in a language that you can understand, then that's very, very important that you get one of those, because you want to be able to go back and check up on us and make sure that what we're saying is true. Okay? That's a pretty bold statement, because maybe there's not a lot of pastors that would get up and say, hey, I want you to check up on me, make sure that I'm saying what I'm saying is the right thing. But that's what God is telling us to do. That's what he's asking us to do. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, we're going to kind of look into how exactly we can do that and how we can kind of evaluate whether somebody's telling the truth. But what are you going to do when I give this message? If you don't have your Bibles with you, you're going to go home, crack that puppy open, and make sure that what I was saying is really in here. Because just because it's on the screen doesn't mean that it's actually in the Bible. Well, it actually does mean that here at Remnant, but you don't know that for sure, so go check up on us. That's the whole idea. Make that a habit. Make it a habit to confirm that what you're being taught is the right thing. You'll find that it is, but God encourages us and tells us to do that. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into this. Father, thank you so much for just a chance to open your word and to bring these things to light. God, we want to come here. We want to learn from you. God, we want this to be a place where lives are changed because of their exposure to your word. And so, God, I pray that that would happen this morning. And, Father, I pray for each person that's in this room this morning, God, that they wouldn't just take my word for it, God. They wouldn't just take Jerry's word for it. But, God, I pray that they would search out these truths for themselves so that they can claim these things, so that their faith can be their own. Help us to learn that this morning, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may or may not have noticed that I have a cold. I've had a cold for almost a month now. I'm thinking it's like a new cold strain. I'm thinking of a name for it, because we've got the swine flu. We had the Asian bird flu. Can someone think of a good animal that won't be insulting to me? Okay, I'm going to check with you afterwards, but I think it deserves a name because I've had it for so long. It's like you spend a lot of time with somebody, you want to know their name, and you want to be comfortable with them. Well, this cold has become a part of my life, and so I've decided to name it. So anyway, I hate having a cold, and so if I cough or something during the message, then that's the reason I'm doing that. It's not because I lost my place, although that actually might happen as well. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and know that Jesus warns his followers in this passage against believing a person who claims to speak God's truth, but whose actions don't line up with God's word. So let's look at it. Matthew 7, starting with verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves," or some versions say ravenous, hungry. "You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions." Let's kind of focus in on verses 15 and the first part of verse 16. So if you had your Bible, you could just kind of make sure that that really is what it says there. But if not, trust me, I put that up there. "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act." We'll stop right there. Now, first of all, I read this passage and I see the word false prophets. And, you know, we don't talk a whole lot about prophets. And I kind of get this whole picture in my head of like a guy that kind of looks like Merlin, you know, and he has a crystal ball and he can see into the future. Do you kind of get that picture when you talk about prophets? Maybe it's just me, and maybe I watched too many fantasy movies when I was a kid, but the thing is that when it says prophet, it doesn't necessarily mean a person that's able to see into the future, although a prophet may know something about the future. But a prophet is a person who God has directly given his message to and said, I want you to take this message and share it with the people. And so a pastor of a church is God's prophet. He's God's messenger because God gives him a message and says, share this message with the people. And so when it says prophet, don't be thrown off by that. It simply means anybody who claims that what they're sharing comes from God. Okay? So does that kind of make sense? So now when I say because of false prophets, you get the idea that it's somebody who says, hey, I have a word and it comes from God, and I want you to listen up. So what is Jesus saying when he says these guys could be disguised as harmless sheep, but really they could be ravenous wolves? There was, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at a headline that came up on my cell phone, and it was about a young girl who is actually an aspiring guitar player and performer from Canada. And the girl went on a walk sometime in the morning or afternoon or something in the hillside, and she was attacked by coyotes and was killed. Crazy. I read that, and I couldn't believe it. And Debbie and I went, you know, and went on her website. Since she was a performing artist, obviously she had a website, and so there was more information there. But it was unbelievable. I thought to myself, wow, that is crazy. I've never heard of that. At least in this modern age, you don't think of somebody, you know, just taking a walk in the park or something and getting eaten by wild animals. That's not something that happens every day. And so it really kind of disturbed me. But I began to think about that, the fact that Satan would love nothing more than for you to be wandering off by yourself, unaware of what's waiting for you. And he would take the opportunity to devour your life. And this is the description here. We have a person who is not communicating the truth of God, but says, I'm communicating the truth of God. And therefore, they're taking what you believe to be true, or they're taking a lie and making you believe that that's the truth. And by doing that, they can literally, spiritually devour you. This is what it's talking about. And so the first thing I think Jesus wants us to get is, don't just take their word for it. Don't just take their word for it. So we're actually going to be identifying things and steps that we can take to make sure somebody's telling the truth. And first of all, don't just take their word for it. I would say this, a person who claims to speak God's truth must be measured by two things: God's word and his own actions. Those are the two things that you can measure somebody by to be able to tell if they're really telling the truth. If they say something that doesn't line up with God's word, what you know to be true in God's word, then they're lying. If their actions, the way that they're living, now they may be saying things that are true, but if the way they're living is contrary to God's word, once again, you can question whether this person is really a false prophet or a person who's telling lies. 1 John 3, verse 19 says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. It says that our actions are going to show that we belong to the truth. If you're living according to the truth of God's word, there's going to be evidence in your life. And a pastor is certainly no exception. A pastor who gets up in shares God's word, his life had better be evidencing that God is working in his life and doing things in his life. James 2:18 says, now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. See, I've actually met people that would say one thing that's true about God, and then they would go out and they would live their life in a way that's contrary to that truth. And my friend, although that person may be speaking the truth, that person is a false prophet because they're not living the things that they're saying. And so there's two ways that you can measure whether someone is speaking God's truth, and that is by God's word. And in order to do that, you've got to be familiar with God's word. If you don't have time in God's word as a part of your life, as a habit, then you're going to have a very difficult time being able to tell if somebody is telling you the truth. That's just the bottom line. And so, once again, I think Jesus is wanting us to go back to the very basic thing that he gave us, which is his word. And he wants us to know it. He wants it to be something that we're so familiar with that when we hear something that's not true, we automatically identify that because we've spent time with the truth. Jeremiah 23:16, here's a warning. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. I was disappointed because there was a couple guys that I really loved the way they spoke, a couple of pastors that are actually pretty big-time guys in the Christian world, and they recently have said some things that made me question their integrity and what they really believe about God's Word. See, because of recent, it's become popular to kind of redefine God's truth, and you're going to hear that term thrown around more and more. Or they might say something that's even less shocking. They'll say something like, "Oh, let's begin a dialogue about this truth." And what they're saying basically is, this truth is open to discussion. There may not be a truth in its entirety in what I'm about to tell you. That's what they're saying. They're saying that this truth can be questioned. And that's been happening a lot. And the only way you're going to know that someone is speaking the truth is if you're spending time in God's Word. That's the only way. God's word is like a ruler, and you're going to be able to tell if something doesn't measure up to it. Does it make sense? So be aware of some foundational truths that people may try to redefine or say these things are open for discussion. And I'm going to give you just three right now that are kind of under attack, and so the reason I want to give these to you is so that you kind of are aware of that. These are what I call non-negotiables, which means basically God says, this is the way it is, and case closed. There's no more discussion. One of these things is the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ. Now, the deity of Christ simply means Christ's godness, okay? That Christ is God. So if I'm talking about the deity of Christ, I'm saying Jesus is God. And people of late, and people that in the past I've respected, have said that this is open for discussion. It's not. It is absolutely not open for discussion because Jesus is 100% God. And when Jesus came to earth and was born a baby and lived the life of a man, he became 100% man. But he did not lose any amount of his deity. He did not lose his godness. He's still God. And so if anybody comes to you and says, you know, when Jesus became a man, he became half man, half God. That's not true. No. Jesus didn't become half God. Jesus is 100% God. And he will always be 100% God. If anybody comes to you and says, you know, Jesus actually is a being that God created. Is that true or is that false? That's false because God didn't create himself. God has always existed. For as long as time goes. Matter of fact, God created time, and so we can't even go back that far. But the fact is, God has no beginning, and God has no end. And Jesus is God. It's not open for discussion. It's non-negotiable. The deity of Christ. Another one, the inerrancy of the Bible. Somebody may tell you the Bible contains the Word of God. Somebody could say, hey, that Bible that you're holding, that contains the Word of God. Is that a true or false statement? If it's not entirely true, as my math teacher would say, then it's false. With math, there's not a whole lot of squeeze room there. You can't write an essay in math class, okay? Okay, so if someone tells you the Bible contains the Word of God, that's not true. The Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And so everything that's in the Bible is given to us by God. God actually, the Bible says God actually breathed the words that are in the Bible. Okay? They're God-breathed. Everything that's in the Bible is God's spoken word. And when I say the inerrancy of the Bible, I simply mean that there's no errors in the Bible. Okay? There's no mistakes in the Bible. People may look at the Bible and say, oh, wait, I found something that contradicts itself. And they may take something out of context from, you know, the New Testament, compare it with something in the Old Testament, and totally disregarding all the information surrounding those facts, they'll say, I found two things that contradict each other. If someone does that, then you say, okay, let's read everything about those verses. Let's not just read that one verse. Let's read everything about that. And you'll find that God does not contradict himself. You'll find that God doesn't make mistakes. You'll find that everything that's written in here is intended for us to read and to develop our spirituality. That's God's word. But this is under attack. Somebody will actually tell you that not everything that's in the Bible is true. That there's a lot of truth in the Bible, but not all of it is true. If somebody says that to you, you automatically know that person is a wolf in sheep's clothing. The third one, man's sinful condition, or in theology class, I would say the depravity of man, which sounds kind of mean, but let's think about it, man. We are a depraved people. We really are. God tells us that we are absent of good without him. Without God, there is nothing good in us. Every single one of us has sinned. We've gone astray. We've turned our back on God. And only through Jesus Christ, through his grace and his forgiveness, can we have a relationship with God. If anybody tells you there's another way to do that, they're lying to you. It's just not true. And so, man's sinful condition, another thing that's under attack right now by some very respected theologians or some very, very respected pastors right here in the United States, some of them would tell you that not all men are sinful. Some of them would tell you that man has a spark of good within him, and Jesus simply activates that spark when he comes into their life. That's not true. Jesus doesn't activate a spark of goodness in you. Jesus takes his righteousness and replaces your sinfulness. He completely gets rid of your sinfulness and replaces it with his righteousness. That's how you're transformed. And so these things are under attack, and I wanted you to be aware there's a bunch of other things that are foundational truths that are non-negotiable things that there's no room for discussion. But you need to know these things, and I think in our series we're going to really get into that as we get into our element series. But this morning, if somebody ever says something that you have a little bit of a question about, please, please check it out. Go to God's Word, open it up, find out if what they're saying is really the truth or if it's not the truth. Let's look back at our passage, verse 16, of the last part of verse 16 through 18. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Okay, sounds a little redundant, but it makes sense, right? A tree that is producing fruit, and by the way, when it's saying good or bad fruit, it's actually talking about fruit that's edible, okay? Fruit that's not poisonous would be good fruit. Fruit that is poisonous and is bad for you would be bad fruit. Okay, so a tree that produces edible fruit that's good for you is always going to produce edible fruit that's good for you. Okay? A tree that produces poisonous fruit that would make you sick or kill you will always produce poisonous fruit. And what is Jesus' point here? Why is he making such a big deal out of this? Because he basically is saying that you're going to reach a point where you're going to be able to identify what kind of tree it is by the type of fruit that it produces. And know that if somebody doesn't have it right here, if somebody does not have their thoughts and their heart lined up with the Bible, and they get up to share something with you, my friend, it's not going to be good fruit. It's going to be poisonous. It's going to be bad for you. It's going to be unhealthy for you. And so, let me read another verse from Luke 6:44. This is where Jesus kind of expounds on a little bit. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. And so he wants to get that point across that if it's good fruit, it's going to come from a good source. And so someone whose intentions are on giving you the truth of God's word, that fruit is going to be good. But if they're not grounded in God's word, every time that fruit's going to be poisonous. Even if it contains a little bit of truth, or even if it contains mostly truth, if there's something there that could cause you to be led astray and believe something that's not true about God, it's still going to be poisonous. And so what's Jesus saying? He's saying, look for consistency. Now, he actually goes a little bit further, because there's a reality where a person, the fruit that they produce is not just the words that they say, but it's their actions as well. Remember, we talked about that just a moment ago, that if a person's actions are not lined up with God's word, then that's a pretty good sign that that person is not giving you the truth of God's word. Look for consistency. Matter of fact, I'd say it like this. A person who is accurately communicating God's truth leads a life that is consistent with God's word. So if a person is accurately communicating God's truth, their life is also going to be consistent with God's word. How do you know that their life is going to be consistent with God's word? Because you yourself have become familiar with God's word. Is it starting to make sense? It all comes back to you. The responsibility is on your shoulders to know and to recognize if someone is telling the truth or if they're telling a lie. And the only way you can do that is by spending more time with the truth. There's a great passage in the book of James, James 3. It's actually a passage that talks about the tongue or the spoken word. And at one point it says, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. You ever known someone like that? Can say really nice things, pleasant things in front of their mom. And then, you know, when she's not in the room, the foulness just comes out. I went on Central Campus just the other day, and a student that for some reason always comes to me and likes to hallelujah me. You know what that means when someone hallelujahs you? They just come and start using all like the Christian lingo. And so she would always use the Christian lingo and just, you know, it just kind of flowed out of her. And at first I'm like, this is a nice girl. You know, she knows something about God's word. And then one time I came walking on campus and she wasn't looking at me. She was talking to someone else and she had her back to me and she was just cussing up a storm. And as I got to where she could see me, she turned around and she was just like, hallelujah. You know, she totally changed when she saw me. And all of a sudden it was hallelujah again. And I'm like, man, that's embarrassing. If a person's actions are not consistent with God's word, then the things that they're saying are not accurate about God's word. Okay? And I want you to know that, because maybe there's a time where someone who's not living consistently with God's word can say some things that are true and some things that are good. But over a period of time, that person eventually is going to be giving you things that are not true about God's word. Because if they don't believe it themselves, and they haven't put their faith and their confidence in God enough so that their actions will reflect the things that they're teaching, then they're a false prophet. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Did I finish reading this verse? I don't remember if I did. I think I only got so far before we got into that. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. See, I think that Jesus and James are both saying the same thing. They're using nature, God's creation, to illustrate a point that something that is producing something that's bad for you is always going to produce something that's bad for you. Something that's producing something good is going to produce something good. How are you going to be able to tell if what you're being given is good and not bad? Because you're spending time in God's word. And the more time you spend with the truth, the more easy it is for you to identify a lie. Let's look back at verse 19 and 20. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. By the way, Jesus is continuing his illustration about good and bad fruit. Some people like to take this verse and say, oh, well, you know, if your life is not producing good fruit, if you're not living for God 100%, then God's just going to chop you off at the torso and throw you in the fire. And that's not true. It's just simply a continuation of the analogy here. He's simply saying that the thing that's producing bad fruit has no value. It's not producing anything that's good for you spiritually. And then he goes on to say, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Okay, I find it very interesting that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, and by the way, this whole series that we've been talking about, Jesus actually shared all this information with his followers in one sitting. Okay, so it'd be kind of like you guys coming and getting the entire series on one Sunday. But Jesus is not as boring as me and Jerry. But okay, so Jesus is giving the entire message. And so earlier in the message, if you remember, Jesus said, don't judge others lest you be judged. Does anybody remember us talking about that? Okay, you should not judge others. Jerry's expression was, what was it?
You're not on the jury.
You're not on that jury. Don't make a verdict. Okay, so Jesus says that earlier in his conversation, and now here at the tail end of his conversation, he says, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. What does that mean? Because here's the thing. At one point, we're told not to judge somebody because we ourselves are going to be judged. And at another point, Jesus is saying, you can tell what kind of a person that person is by their actions, by their fruit. So how do we take these two thoughts and create harmony here? You know what the secret is? I'm going to tell you. The secret is God's word. Okay, if God's word is a standard, if God's word is the rule, it's your frame of reference, God's word is what you are comparing everything to. Josiah, competing with me back there? If God's word is the thing that you're comparing everything to, then you know if something is wrong or if it's right. Okay? Now, if you make a judgment on somebody based on your opinion or based on the way you feel or based on your tastes, well, that's wrong. Why? Because you're not God and the words that you speak are not God's word. So if you compare something to God's word, then every single time you're able to identify whether something is right or whether something is wrong. Okay, so that's the difference. Earlier, Jesus is talking about using your own wisdom and your own tastes and your own opinions to make an identification. And now he's talking about lining something up with God's word or holding it up to the light of God's word and saying, okay, I know exactly what this person is all about because I've spent time in God's word and I know that this is not true or that it is true. And so the last thing is recognize the lie. I've said it, I don't know, probably 6 times already this morning. The only way you're going to recognize a lie is by spending time with the truth. Matter of fact, I put it like this. When we so love the truth of God's word and love obeying him, our senses are sharpened to recognize what is true and what is a lie. Because of your love for God, you're going to spend way more time with him. And because of the time you spend with him, because that time you spend with him is so valuable and so important to you and so intense, when you walk away from that time with God and you hear a lie, you're going to recognize that that's not the truth because you just walked away from a time where you were becoming familiar with the truth. Is it making sense? It's the whole idea we talked about a few months ago about the way they train the people to identify counterfeit money. It's not, don't give them a bunch of, you know, copies of counterfeit money and say, hey, you know, here's a bunch of efforts that people have made to counterfeit money. Check them all out. No, they spend time with the actual real thing, the real deal, the authentic bill. And then after spending time with the real thing, right away when they see something that's not it, they recognize the counterfeit. And it's the same thing in your life. The more time you're spending with God's word, the more you're going to recognize when something's not true. So are you going to take my word for it? No. My word's good, but God's word is better. And so make sure that the words that I'm sharing with you are coming directly from God. Let's close with these two verses, which I love. They're both from the message. 1 John 4:1. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear or that you read on the internet. I added that part. It doesn't say that. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. He replaced the false prophets with lying preachers. I love it. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Don't just hear it and just automatically assume that it's true. No, what does he say? Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. This is a warning that we need to pay pretty strict attention to. Because somebody can say something that sounds really good, but if they're not saying the same thing that God is saying, then no matter how good it sounds, it's not true, and it's bad for you. It's poisonous fruit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22, this is also from the Message. He says, don't suppress the Spirit, and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. Okay, that's a good verse so far. Basically, it's saying, when someone gets up to speak and they open God's word, it's saying, pay attention to that person. Okay? It's saying, have respect for what that person is saying and have respect for God's word as they're sharing it. But the second part of the verse says, on the other hand, don't be gullible. Don't be gullible. I know a lot of gullible people. You know, and gullible people are kind of fun because you can play tricks on them. You can convince them that, you know, something happened that didn't happen, or that something didn't happen that really did, and that's fun to be able to do that. But the thing is, you never want to be gullible when it comes to the truth of God's word. Okay, we'll keep the playing games with gullible people for, you know, the dinner parties. But the deal is that when it comes to God's word and the truth of God's word, you don't want to just believe what something somebody says. He goes on to say, check out everything. And then he says, keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. Now, that takes a little bit more practice. Because not only do you have to identify that something someone's saying is not true, you actually have to sift through that and say, okay, well, these things that they said were right on because they line up with God's word, and this particular thing was a little bit off. I've actually had conversations with people where they were saying something that was true and something that was right, and then they said something that was a little bit off, and I said, hey, wait a second, you know, I don't want to, you know, insult you or anything, but what you said about this was true, but what you said about this is not true. It doesn't line up with God's word. Now, that's not something you want to do in the middle of the message, obviously, but be able to identify when somebody is saying something that's not true. But the ultimate lesson this morning is that the more familiar you are with God's word and the more time you're spending with God, the more easy it is to identify when something's not true or when it's a lie. You'll know right away when there is a wolf among you. Even if they're wearing sheep's clothing, they look like everyone else. What they're saying sounds good, maybe even looks good, but you'll know the truth because you've spent time with the truth.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You